Hello, my name is Jen Hickey. Welcome to the WEN podcast, a series of conversations with people as they share their WEN moments. Recognizing these times can change our destiny, help us to stop hiding behind the past or clinging to a future that may or may not happen. This podcast is about recognizing the power of the WEN moments. In the second episode on menopause, I chat to Sally Ann and Claire, who founded the Irish Menopause Facebook group. In this chat, we hear the real stories that inspire them both to establish this incredibly important and powerful community.
And we really did support each other for a few years. And again, at this point that I found the private menopause specialist and was given HRT and got better, she didn't have that sort of service available. And I'm not going to say she deteriorated, because what happened came as a massive shock, but I could see her change. I could see her become more anxious over a very short space of time.
Some listeners may find aspects of our conversation harrowing. However, it is for this reason that I feel it is so important that we all hear it. Please like, share and subscribe to this podcast. Welcome along, ladies.
Hi. So,
how are you doing? Both of your stories have led you to setting up this amazing community. So I just want to start by hearing about when you both felt there was something wrong. So I was thinking, Sally Ann, maybe we could start with you. And maybe if you could think back to kind of at the beginning where you felt that you just weren't feeling right.
Okay. In retrospect, in my mid-30s, I became a very anxious person. Unreasonable anxiousness is what I would refer to it as. I had no idea, obviously, that would have been anything to do with hormones. So I suppose I went through a few years of that and a lot of visits back and forth to the GP. Nothing was ever diagnosed. It was just typical life anxiety, and it happens to all of us. Further along then, a couple of years after that, I started to develop night sweats and some physical symptoms, which were a real telltale for me. And that's, I suppose, when my battle began, because I presented to the doctor saying, I'm having night sweats, and I've looked it up and it's got to be menopause. And my mother had an early menopause and I heard it's hereditary and went through all of that. And I was categorically told time after time, there's absolutely no way. I was far too young and I still had periods. So it wasn't actually possible. And it was just my anxiety feeding this and making me more anxious and convincing myself I was menopausal when I wasn't. It was in my head, that type of thing. So that went on for a long time, and that was the start of the battle. So night sweats then became worse. I then developed aches and pains all over, just not feeling like myself, soreness in my joints, just feeling like really, really old and stiff. That went on to develop tinnitus, which was absolutely appalling. And then that led me into a journey of seeing probably all the ologists I could find in Ireland and had every check done. I then developed stomach issues, digestive issues, which led me down another avenue to see specialists, various trips to A&E, colposcopies, all sorts of. I've had all of me poked at and I've been through many machines. Then it got more sinister, because then my head started to go a bit funny. I developed what I now know was loss of estrogen, but my mind sort of went and I became suicidal. And I used to have suicidal episodes, not actively suicidal, but wanting to. And this would come and go and come and go. And it was extremely frightening. Along with that, I had some intrusive thoughts, which were completely new to me. To be honest, looking back, I'm probably very lucky to still be here. Yet again, GPs, no, wasn't happening. I was referred to psychiatry. At that point, I was happy to go and happy to be diagnosed with something, because I thought, well, they find something, they can treat it, and I'll just have to be accepting of whatever's wrong with my brain. However, I wasn't diagnosed with anything, and it just went on from there. And it was actually the psychiatrist, in hindsight, that during the course of the conversation said to me, "I do wonder if you're perimenopausal." And that's the first time I'd ever heard that word. I'd never heard of perimenopause. So I went on a mission and came home and researched and read and realized there was such a thing as perimenopause. And in the meantime, then she had said, "I'm going to refer you back and they can run bloods to see if you are perimenopausal." So it was very exciting for me because I believed I'm going to get better. They're going to find something. That wasn't to be, because the bloods came back and I was told my bloods were normal, that it wasn't that. Yeah. At this point, I had no idea of what I know now of how unreliable that was. And so I still held on to the perimenopausal title, if you want to call it that, and I never let go of researching and trying to find a way to get better. And I then ventured into seeing what I thought were people who could handle the menopause, such as consultant endocrinologists, gynecologists, hormone experts, GP clinics which advertise menopause service.
It sounds like you were just, I mean, how many years of, this is tragic, you know, how many years of like pain were you going through in this journey? You said late 30s and then into your early 40s?
4 years in total of having no quality of life. Yeah, I have got the odd good day, but...
Yeah, and I know we've spoken before and you mentioned that you actually felt like you were slowly dying through this phase. You must have been absolutely terrified.
Yes, and it went then beyond terrified. It became nearly accepting and just wanting to not wake up in the morning because... And then when I did wake up some mornings, it was the worst thing in the world that I was awake. I was going, I can't do another day of this. So when I went on this journey with this word, perimenopause, from that point, it took me, excluding the ologists and the A&E trips and all of the specialists, it took me 16 doctors, my 16th doctor. It was that moment, and he said to me, "You're not mad," and he said, "You need some hormones. We're going to get you sorted."
Wow. My God. Yeah. Okay, so Claire, you're living in the UK, and just to let listeners know, we're actually doing this on Zoom at the moment for obvious reasons during COVID. So Claire, was your journey similar to this?
It was very similar. A few differences. I was sort of early 40s. Okay, so late 30s, I was really hit with a bit of insomnia looking back, you know, but I didn't think anything of it. Early 40s, I distinctly remember doing the school run thinking, "Oh God, what's wrong with me?" You know, I couldn't last a full day. I was absolutely exhausted, felt like I had flu. So it was just that kind of really slow feeling that came over you. I remember seeing my GP and he didn't really think anything of it. I didn't give him any clues. I mean, my periods were still normal and I had absolutely no idea. I think the first doctor I saw, so I was about 42, was a gastroenterologist because my gut had just kind of given up. It just didn't function. It was constipation, it was pain, it was bloating, it was discomfort. And I'd already seen a gynae who directed me to the gastroenterologist, had a colonoscopy. He said, "Well, your bowel is just really slow and it's kind of packed up." And I said, "Well, why does this?" He said, "Well, some women just get like this." So I still absolutely zero clue that it was hormones. But I was feeling more and more sick. I mean, it was like permanent flu, permanent hangover, and arthritis on top of that. So it was body pain, I think, that was my main symptom that came on then. Again, went to the GP and was diagnosed with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, which I kind of didn't accept. I'm so stubborn. I just thought, no, this isn't right. It doesn't feel like me. There's something not quite right. And I kept trying to convince these doctors that I wasn't, because depression comes along with some of those diagnoses. And I wasn't depressed. I was determined and focused and confused, but I didn't yet have the anxiety. I didn't really have any mental symptoms yet. It's very definitely a physical thing. And by then my periods had changed. So I was kind of mid 40s. And I insisted on some help. So I was sent to a rheumatologist.
Yeah.
He said, well, I don't think you've got fibromyalgia, actually. You know, you don't fit the pattern. But, and I said to him, could this be hormones? Because I had searched all over the internet. And this was a few years back, don't forget. There was absolutely nothing. No information. The only symptom that seemed to be linked to menopause was hot flushes. And I wasn't getting them. I was kind of hot and warm and a bit sweaty and felt like I had a temperature. But I did not have a flush or a night sweat.
Okay. And typically, of course, that's what when we think about menopause,
yes,
we think that's what's going to happen and that's going to be the signal. So yes, you're kind of waiting for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, when I said to him, again, it was a slight light bulb moment because he couldn't help me, but his suggestion was go to your GP, try some estrogen in the form of the pill maybe for a month and see if that's what's causing all these problems. He said, I do see women who have an extreme reaction to the withdrawal of estrogen. And I thought, oh, here we go. So went back to my GP, who absolutely refused to give me any hormones. He said, no, a woman of, I think I was 46, 47 by then, does not go on hormones. It's not right. It's dangerous. It'll give you a stroke. It's harmful. So obviously here we have the NHS. And the next person I sort of dug out was a private menopause specialist. And bearing in mind I'd had hormone blood tests before, she did a test on a day when I felt particularly bad. And this is the thing, you can have a blood test and your bloods are fine.
Yeah.
And they don't show anything and nobody's any the wiser, but I literally crawled into London on the train that day and had a blood test on a day I felt absolutely terrible. And sure enough, my estrogen was just non-existent that day. And
okay,
that was the point that I was given HRT, and the difference was incredible, just incredible.
So both of you then started on this journey, and again, both of your journeys are different, and we'll get to how you met, because, you know, and obviously setting up this amazing group. And I know that Claire, you at the time of your journey, you were going through this as well with a friend. So maybe
yes,
tell us a little bit about that, because this is just so sad. This made my heart break when I heard this.
Yeah, it never leaves you, but I had a friend, a very close friend. She was a couple of years older than me, but again, I'm slightly old. I'm sort of going back a few years now. So again, there was nothing around about menopause. I think it's talked about slightly more now, but there was nothing. And we had similar symptoms in that we didn't have hot flushes. She was a couple of years older than me, so she was through the menopause, supposedly, but still having dreadful symptoms, pain mainly in joints and arthritis type pain. she had to give up her job. And we really did support each other for a few years. And again, at this point that I found the private menopause specialist and was given HRT and got better, she didn't have that sort of service available. And I'm not going to say she deteriorated, because what happened came as a massive shock, but I could see her change. I could see her become more anxious over a very short space of time. And one day she came, and actually the last time I saw her, I walked her out to her car because she didn't seem right. I didn't want to leave her. I wouldn't normally do that. And I made her promise that she'd see someone, get some help. and actually, I was called by the police a couple of days later. She'd gone missing at night, and we, and menopause ladies know that night times are really difficult when it comes to anxiety and insomnia. She was found and she was put on some antidepressants, but she took her life a few weeks later. And she died in a very violent way. She jumped off a bridge, you know, and that for me, it shows true desperation, doesn't it? I mean, you're not in your right mind. The idea that you literally do not want to live a minute longer and that is an option is just shocking. And I know if she'd had help from GPs and been given access to some HRT, I'm sure she would still be here.
Gosh, I mean, it is, I'm sure listeners are listening to this and, you know, it is just so tragic to hear that poor woman.
It's so needless. It's absolutely needless. And the suicide rate for women is highest in early 50s, I think.
Yeah.
So it's so avoidable.
Oh, it's heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. So this obviously started you both on the search for treatment. And obviously you both went through maybe the same kind of treatment, but you didn't know each other, I think, at this stage. So Sally-Anne, maybe let's get back to you. How did you find your treatment and when did you start to feel better, I suppose, more importantly?
Yes, well, going back to what I said earlier, Dr. Number 16, my hero, he recognized what was going on, thankfully. It did take me some time. Because I'm younger, I would have been 40 at the time. At 40, I would need very high amounts of hormones compared to a woman who's 50. So it's a matter of titrating upwards until you find your sweet spot, as they say. So it did take me some time. I think I could honestly say 7 months from the day I met him to the day I could say, wow. So slower than I had wanted. However, as the weeks passed, I wanted to kill myself less each week. Sorry to make that sound, but that's the reality of it. And you've heard
absolutely
there's a heartbreaking story there, and that very well nearly was and could have been me. So it's a massive subject. It's half the population globally, and it does have this effect on women. Women are amazing. They're multitaskers by nature. They're mothers. They're incredible beings, and our capabilities are just endless. So, I mean, no, someone needs to join the dots. Like, what happens to a woman at middle age that all of a sudden she's incapable of boiling an egg? Yeah. It does not add up.
So and tell me, what was your treatment initially? What did they put you on?
You mean the doctor who helped me or all the others?
Oh, no, the one that helped you, the one that gave you the estrogen, I suppose.
That's needed estrogen. Yeah. I also badly needed progesterone. What we've learned since is the first hormone to leave town and the transition is progesterone, which leaves females in a very anxious state because progesterone is our very calming hormone. It's the hormone we're filled to the brim with during pregnancy, for example. And generally, the majority of pregnant women are fairly chilled out and happy with life. It's very telling. I had no progesterone of my own, and I don't know how long I had been like that, or no wonder I was in that condition. So it was about balancing them both. Then as we went further along, we added in testosterone, which is the game changer.
Right, okay.
Yeah, wow. I had none of my own.
Okay. And are we talking about, I know I've done a podcast with Loretta Dignan from the Menopause Hub, and she speaks a lot about body identical hormones. Was this the same for yourself?
Sorry, apologies. Yes, I wouldn't use anything else. Body identical, yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about maybe a gel for the estrogen?
Yes, estrogen through the skin, it's always the safest way. And then progesterone in a body identical form, and there's only one of those available, and testosterone as well, and that comes in a cream or a gel format, yeah.
Okay, and I know when we spoke with Loretta that you know, it's important to say, and what you just said there, it's something, I suppose, that takes a little bit of time to build up in your system. The body identical is kind of meaning that it's going to match the hormones in your body. So it's a lot safer to take the hormones this way than perhaps the way they,
Exactly. So, it's the same molecular structure as what Mother Nature gave us. So it's not foreign to us. You know, there shouldn't be any reaction, and it will just make you feel good again. Really, that's what it It does.
Oh, and little by little by little, and then eventually you're kind of finding yourself feeling a little bit more like yourself, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a bit like thawing out, as myself and Claire always say, defrosting. It happens very slowly. It's subtle.
Yeah.
But gosh, hindsight, and when you look back.
Yeah, and I've spoken myself a little bit just about my own journey. It's different because I know we're all women are different. And for me, I actually, similar to you, I felt very anxious, and loss of confidence was kind of the first things I noticed. And of course, didn't link it at all to perhaps perimenopause. Again, didn't know anything about the perimenopause stage. So like you, I started on some progesterone, a little bit of estrogen, and slowly but surely have been feeling a little bit better myself, I suppose. And Claire, let's talk to you now for a moment. Was your journey the same in terms of treatment? How did you find somebody?
It was actually. I was very clear, because at this point I'd been able to research so much that I wanted body identical HRT. I didn't want what my mother had been on. she'd had breast cancer, and I was terrified of any HRT. But it got to the point where, having researched, I realized it was different from the HRT from the 1980s. I think I felt the difference quite quickly. For me, I think the body pain went, you know, any idea of me being in a wheelchair for the rest of my life was not an option anymore. It was very, very, I'd say, obviously it takes time and it's little by little, but those first few weeks I knew absolutely that's what my body was looking for. That's what was missing. Again, it's tweaking all the time. I think later on, because I'm post-menopausal now, and I think the last real phase was anxiety. That's when it hit me.
Were you on HRT at this time when you were?
I was actually.
And then developed anxiety. Okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't say, I mean, I was in control of it. There was lots of, it's a time when our families leave, you know, my son was leaving to go to university. There's lots going on. The death of my friend actually obviously is a big life event. So I think, you know, there was lots of things, other things going on. I don't know how I would have coped had I not been well.
It doesn't bear thinking, really, does it?
Yeah. I know. It's still a journey, but, and you need to tweak your doses, you need to stay aware of it. But certainly post-menopause, you don't get the fluctuations that you get in perimenopause. It's easier to stay on one dose. You know where you are, there's less ups and downs. So much easier. There is a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel at the other side.
Okay, so that leads me on then nicely. So you both are on your treatment. When was the moment you decided to do something about this to help other women? How did you meet? Because this Facebook group is amazing.
Thank you. I am a bit, Claire is a librarian, and I am not a librarian. However, I'm extremely inquisitive, so I never stop researching and nosing and poking for information. I found some excellent support groups online, and they were the UK and America, believe it or not. I couldn't find similar in Ireland. And I knew I had all my ducks in a row. I knew I needed evidence-based information, because I had been through the years of all of the wellness and the acupuncture and eating leaves and exercising, and there was nothing I did not try. So I knew exactly what I needed. So I found these amazing groups. And I spotted a woman who I thought was dreadfully sensible. And one day I said, I need to reach out to this woman. She was on the same treatment as me at the time. And she just seemed so sensible and really had her head screwed on. So I sent her a message. And unfortunately, that was Claire. And that's where we met. And it developed, and quite quickly, because I think we were both on the same page. We messaged each other back and forward, and it became an online friendship, which I never thought I'd have. and we just get on so well, and we have met in person, and that's where it grew from there. So when was our moment, Claire, that we decided, let's sort Ireland out, or try to?
I think it was pretty quick, wasn't it? Because we both had the same experience. I mean, yes, we get on, we're great friends, but it was the same experience. We both had a really severe perimenopause and we had no support. And there was a subtle difference between the UK and Ireland. The UK was just lifting itself out of this sort of, there were more groups starting, there was more sort of media stuff going on, but literally nothing in Ireland. It hadn't started happening. And I think it was probably, yeah, it was quite quick, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Quite, kind of happened quite quickly.
So yeah, I came across you guys myself when I was doing my own research. And this is what's wonderful about this group. So it is a community of women, and it's a private group. So you only people that are in the group get to see your messages. But, you know, even if you don't want to post or ask a question, or I went straight in with a couple of questions, but even if you didn't want to, you can just scroll through. You're definitely going to find something there that perhaps you're going through. And it's just a wonderful way for women to understand a little bit more about how they're feeling, about possible treatments. And it just felt to me like a massive big hug. That's the best way I can describe it. Felt like a big hug that I could, if I felt just a little bit low, I could maybe go in and just check out, get some advice, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it's a really good combination between, I mean, again, librarian information, wanting to spread information, anything that happens, anything we see, any new news or new treatments or whatever gets put on the group, any articles. But actually what's come out of that, it's more than an information source. It is a hug. It's, you know, it's the warmth of Ireland. It's Irish women. It's friendships. It's support. There is never a crossword. There's nothing but kindness. At any time of night, you know, we've had lots of late messages and people feeling vulnerable. And once you start, it's like a big snowball. Once it started, it was so very necessary that it kind of just took off. And we're very proud of it.
Oh, you should be, because it really is. It's a wonderful group. And Sally Ann, I know you've recently started to go out on your own. Talk to us a little bit about what you're doing now.
I have, yeah. I mean, obviously, all we've done in the group, like, there was never any funding behind it. And we work it between us and we work it well. I was working, you know, outside of the home. So, you know, Claire would give me a dig out when I was at my real job, as they say. And we thoroughly enjoyed what we're doing. However, with the year that's been in it and COVID, and things have changed for me with my own career. And my heart has always been with this, because I can't bear the thought of losing another woman, you know, when maybe a quick conversation could save her, could help her. And there's a lot of women, and we need to be mindful of this, that although they're in the group and it's closed and it's private, they may not be comfortable, or they could be in such an anxious state, they've no confidence and they don't want to reach out, or they don't have that confidence to post. There's a lot of silent members. So I decided that a one-to-one service would be an idea, and I'm going to try it. It's what I would have wanted, because I spend a lot of money on therapists and counsellors and all of these type of people. Not that there's anything wrong with that. However, in retrospect, none of them knew anything about menopause. They just did not get it. So to be able to speak to someone who's lived it, you know, I think is what I would have wanted in my time. So this is something I've decided. I call it a mentor, a menopause mentor. And so far, it's been really busy. And interestingly, as I've just said, it's silent members who are booking consultations. I see names I've never seen before, and I look and they're actually in the group, but they've never been active. So, you know, that reinforces that this was a good idea. This is needed. Women need that.
Yeah. And I suppose, again, you know, you saying that, it's a bit scary, really, isn't it, to think that all these women that are, you know, silent, you know, Lord knows how they're feeling, you know, shame, whatever, that they've no one to kind of reach out to, even with the group that's been set up. So it's really great that you're doing this. And Claire, how have you found, do you in the UK, are things the same as they are in Ireland in terms of kind of treatment, or is it a little bit, are you a little bit more ahead of the game, do you think?
I it's difficult to say because, I mean, I'm in the southeast of England, so very close to London. So, you know, anything you want is in London. So, and that's where I went eventually. I didn't find help locally. So, but I think the UK is kind of moving a little bit quicker. There are more experts. There are, for the people who have a particularly difficult time, I think it's easier to find help. Whereas I think in Ireland, you really have to seek out the experts and finding information as well, I think. And also the right HRT. I mean, we seem to see an awful lot of women on very old style HRT, which simply wouldn't be prescribed on the NHS or anywhere else in England. That's the biggest difference, I think.
Okay. And so is it that these women that are on the old style should be reaching out to a menopause specialist to perhaps get the body identical?
I mean, it's personal opinion, you know. Yeah. There are thousands of women on all types of HRT, but we like to give evidence-based information. I think transdermal HRT through the skin in a patch or a gel is all round safer than a tablet, because you don't go through the liver, you're not activating all sorts of enzymes that might cause a clot or a stroke. And that, obviously, originally my GP had given me that advice, HRT can cause strokes. And yet, actually, factually, that's not strictly true. If you have it through the skin, it's safer. So, yeah, I personally would recommend the body identical, but, you know, everyone's different. Everyone has a different health history. This is why menopause experts are needed.
Yes.
And you need the right product for you, you know, because not everything suits everyone.
Yes. So it's about trying to find a menopause specialist in your area. So I understand you have, obviously there's the Facebook group, and that's just Facebook or Irish Menopause, is it?
The Irish Menopause, yeah. We have a Facebook group, which is closed and private. You need to request to join that, and that's fine. And the Facebook page, which is, well, it's there for all. Also Instagram, Twitter, and now the website, theirishmenopause.com.
Amazing. So that's where anybody can get in contact with you and yes. Sally-Ann, if people want to book in with you one-to-one. So obviously, none of us are medics here, but everything that we're talking about here is evidence-based. And we're also kind of trying to encourage women to reach out. And if you can go to your GP and you're lucky enough to find someone that knows about all the body identical, great. Otherwise, perhaps look for somebody that's actually a menopause specialist.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people aren't understanding, and it's only because I've lived it, that unless someone has done menopause training, you know, I believed that when I went to a gynecologist that they would know, but given the nature of their job, I just assumed, well, of course they're going to know all about menopause, but I didn't realise, no, not necessarily. So you do need to sort of check if they have menopause training. However, many will advertise, you know, whether they're British Menopause Society accredited, maybe, or North American Menopause Society. And it does make all the difference, really does. And there are some amazing GPs out there who are completely up to date and really skilled. It's hard to find them. It's hard to tease them out because they don't really advertise. So, like, we're always asking in the group, if your GP is an amazing one, let us know. But then what happens, Jen, is we find an amazing GP and they're not taking on any new patients, or you have to be a patient in their centre already. It's really tricky.
Yeah. Gosh, it's such a fascinating area, really, isn't it? I mean, and yes. For you guys, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to chat to me today, because, I mean, your stories are, Claire, it's so sad and sorry to hear about your friend, and Sally-Ann, that you were feeling the way you were feeling. And, you know, even if one person listening, you know, possibly feeling in the same way, if they get some sort of help from this. And what I'd say is encourage you to get onto the Facebook group and check out maybe your GP or the Menopause Hub. Have you anybody else that you can recommend that you can think of that you know?
We do. We have obviously the Menopause Hub, because it's the first in Ireland and absolutely fantastic, and there should be one in every town. However, something like the Menopause Hub may be out of reach for some. So we do, and that's why we also are running our petition for the Department of Health. We need GP education, because it's not fair if somebody can't afford to go privately.
Yes.
So every woman, you know, it can't be, you know, just for some, every woman should be entitled to the same care. We have a listing, you know, we've got a good few really good experts in Ireland, and ladies can come and ask us. Okay. And I suppose one of the benefits of COVID at the moment is that everyone's gone to online. So if a woman is in a very remote area in Ireland or can't travel, it's still within her reach. It's fantastic.
Oh, brilliant. Listen, thank you so much. And all the information is on your website, and I will put it up on mine.
Thank you.
Thanks a million. Thanks so much, Claire. Nice to see you both.